begins to cloud. You hold on more strongly to memories of your truest love. When the distraction of life's mundane memories disappear, are you left with the distillation of your life's truest love? Well, we'll discuss their findings tonight. All month long, they are exhibiting the stories and photographs at Portland Grind, and the exhibit again is titled What's the Love of Your Life? Let me introduce my guests. Emily Sterling is writer, educator, storyteller in Portland. She loves interviewing people about their lives, especially older generation. She believes that listening is an act of love. Kelly Hansen looks for opportunity, adventure, and lessons in the people and things around her. Her interests include photography, writing, music, and most of all, advocacy. Kenny Field has worked at Emerson House in the Life Enrichment Department since 2007. While engaging and interacting with the residents, he strives to fulfill each resident's need through activities that touch on mind, body, and spirit. Kenny truly enjoys each day with the residents, hoping it can be a light down their final stretch of life's path. Zoe Piliafus is a passionate storyteller. She's worked for a number of years in public education and most recently in international journalism. She's passionate about equity and loves the exploration of storytelling as a way to empower us in gaining different perspectives and understanding. Welcome all of you to Brand Roses.
Thank you, Delphine.
Okay, first question that I have is, you know, really, how did this storytelling project idea come about?
The storytelling project. Oh my, it's kind of a funny story. So I used to live off of Division, 36 and Division, which is where Emerson House is. And I would go to Eugenio's. I'm going to shout out Eugenio's if people are listening that go there. Eugenio's is a fabulous bar. So I used to sit there and drink IPAs and, you know, get to know my fellow Eugenio's and local neighborhood people. So as I'm sitting there one day, it's like probably like 7:30, 8 o'clock at night, enjoying a nice beer, and I look up and there was a light on. And there was a gentleman that was kind of looking down at us. And we looked a little closer and we said, what is going on here? And we realized that it was an elderly home, an assisted living home. And as a joke, we're like, let's break them out. Let's break them out. And we're going to run. Where are we going to go?
They would have loved that.
They would have loved it. It would have been fun. But then we started to talk about this idea that we've been sitting on Division for, I think at that point, I'd lived on Division for a year. And I hadn't even realized that Emerson House was there. And I'm fairly new to Portland, 3.5 years in. And what I love about Portland is this idea of locality and where we get our food, to knowing our neighbors, to supporting, you know, the local artists and shops. But then it occurred to me that we were forgetting a very important population that sat right before our eyes. And so the project kind of came about. We said, why don't we get to know our neighbors? And why don't we know their stories and take pictures of their beauty? And I knew Emily. Emily used to work with me, and she has a passion for storytelling. So I called up Emily and said, would you be interested? And she said, I was game. Mm-hmm. So then I contacted Emerson House, and they said, Kenny Field is the gentleman you want to talk to. So I contacted Kenny, met him for a beer. Apparently, I'm drinking a lot of beer. Met him for a beer and told him the idea.
I think I had a cider, but you had a beer.
So, Kenny, I'm really curious about, you know, what was your initial reaction to this idea of a storytelling project that would, you know, involve the residents of your home? And why did you think it was a good idea?
So when Zoe came to me, we met up for that beer and cider. And I had been involved in a fundraiser for the Alzheimer's Association that I put together called Rock Against Alzheimer's for years before that. And so when a person of my age was interested in showcasing people who have Alzheimer's and dementia, one of our big mission statements for Rock Against Alzheimer's was to get young people involved with the older population and kind of bring Alzheimer's to a forefront. So when Zoe came, she was super enthusiastic and said, I want to do this project. And you know, I look at all my residents every single day, and they have so many stories. Even if they repeat the stories every day, it's still interesting every single time. And when they tell those stories, because of the dementia, I always kind of describe it as every day I go to work, it's like going into Wonderland or going through the looking glass a little bit, because all these stories have great meaning and you know, they're very meaningful to these individuals. Mm-hmm. But every once in a while, because of the dementia, you get this little twist, and everything seems like it should make sense, but sometimes there's that little twist, and I really wanted to capture that.
It sounds like the dream that you were telling us, Delphine.
Yes.
Yes.
Don't share my dream on the air.
I apologize. To the listeners, Delphine and I are very good friends.
You're listening to KBOO. This is your community radio station, and we have been coming to you today, and we are going to be coming to you for the next couple of weeks, really asking you for your support. So I would like now to go to our friends in the pitching table.
Yes. Hello, Del. It's Ani. And here I am at the pitching table asking you, dear listener, to take this moment and become a member of KBOO Community Radio right now. Support Bread and Roses, just about the longest feminist program on the air. It's an amazing legacy that Del is a part of. And we would love for you, in fact, to participate in this legacy. Participate in KBOO. Give us a call at 877-500-5266. You could also join us online at kboo.fm. It's important that you just take a moment and reflect that on the richness that KBOO brings to your life. Whether you listen only to Bread and Roses, or whether you listen to Bread and Roses plus some of our music programming or our news, locally produced news, which is a rare thing in community radio to find 45 minutes of locally produced news every weekday. It's a resource that I dare say is worth your support right now. We recommend that you give on a monthly way. Go ahead and start an electronic funds transfer. Just $5 a month, $6 a month. I suggest perhaps 1 hour's wage every month called in to support your community radio station. It happens automatically once you make that call and set something up with the delightful volunteer answering the phones over here. Just takes a couple minutes of time, and you'll know that you're doing your part to support your community radio station. 1-877-500-5266. 877-500-5266, or online at kboo.fm. I want to thank restaurants that have contributed today. We want to thank Delfina's Bakery, 4636 Northeast 42nd Avenue, Beulah Land at 118 Northeast 28th Avenue, or the Marrakesh, and the Marrakesh, I should say, at 1201 Northwest 21st Avenue. All of these restaurants have contributed food this day to help feed our volunteers so that we can stay engaged with you, the community, and go ahead and take your pledge of support now. We can only do that if, in fact, you call in your pledge of support so that you know you are becoming a sponsor of independent, in-your-face community radio. We are here to serve you, the community, and we ask that you support us so that we can maintain our independent nature. 877-500-5266, online kboo.fm. Whether you choose to do it on a credit card right now or set up that monthly electronic funds transfer, however you choose to do it, just pick up the phone and do it now. 877-500-5266.
Thank you so much, Ani. Please call and really pledge your contribution. You're listening to Bread and Roses, and I'm Delphine Crescenzo, and tonight I'm welcoming in the studio the four collaborators of a storytelling project entitled What's the Love of Your Life? And we just started talking about how the idea for the project originated. And so, Kenny, you shared that you work at the Emerson House, but Kelly, Emily, and Zoe, you guys were coming from the outside. Tell me about the first time you took a tour in the Emerson House, and what were you expecting to see, and what did you see? Maybe Emily, would you go?
Sure. Kenny took me on a tour of the facility, and I have to admit I was a little bit nervous at first just because I had never been in a dementia care facility before. I didn't quite know what it would be like, how responsive folks would be, kind of what their level of interaction would be. So I think the first time it was just kind of getting my bearings and talking to a few folks. But then after having been in there 5-6 times doing interviews over time, it was like coming back to a kind of a college dorm room in a way, because, you know, everybody knows each other, they're really loved and supported, and just knowing each of them individually through the process, really, I became really comfortable mm-hmm. there.
Kelly, how about you? How was the first time you toured the place?
I guess I had an idea of what it might be like, but I walked in and thought, oh, I'm really glad I'm not old and I don't have to live here. That was my honest reaction, and then I started talking to people, and it was really fun to watch Kenny interact with the residents, because it's clear that he has a great relationship with a lot of them, and I realized pretty soon that this is people's homes. And the second time I came back, similarly to Emily, it felt a lot nicer, and some residents said, like, well, we really like it here. And had I known that, like, the first time I walked in, I would have been like, oh, their expectations.
Do you think, too, just to kind of piggyback off what she said, this idea, Della, one of our friends, we talked about...
Host and producer of Brian Roses as well.
She had said to us recently that the one thing we know for certain is we're all going to die. And I think that one of our fears is also that we're going to die with that certainty. And it brings us pause or hesitation to connect with people that are kind of on the cusp of that. And so I would say my challenge to the viewers is, if you have human beings that are living in your community, get their wisdom, go in there, shake their hands. And, you know, having the candor from Emily and Kelly that they were fearful at first, I think really speaks to getting over your fears.
Yes.
and learning.
And one of the things at Emerson House is, yes, one of the inevitable things that we will experience in life is an end. But one of the greatest things I've learned working at Emerson House, who my old boss, Chris Nelson, taught me, is that just because they're in this final stretch of a path doesn't mean that it has to be this sad, drawn-out process. And and while these people are confused and less cognitively aware, we can set a structure for them to still enjoy life and thrive as they're going through this transition. So
I'm curious, I'm assuming you are in your 30s. What led you to this line of work?
I'm 30.
I thought you were 18, Kenny.
You lied to you, Zoe.
If I shave, I look like I'm 18. I just look like I'm 21. So I sold industrial tools before this, which was terrible. I hated it. I worked for my dad, which actually wasn't that bad working for my dad, but I kind of ran into some financial problems, and he came to me and said, hey, I don't know if I can pay you your next paycheck. So I was stressed out, but it also gave me kind of the kick in the butt that I needed to get out, because I did want to do something else, and went to the bar and ran into my friend Catherine, who was the marketing person at Emerson House at the time, and she told me about the life enrichment assistant job. And she said, oh, yeah, you sing songs, you play a clown, you play bingo, you take people out for walks, you go on outings. And I was like, cool, I can do that. And she's like, but it's not like hanging out with your grandparents. You know, these people are, you know, have a cognitive decline, and there are certain behaviors that you will see. And so I went and interviewed with Chris, and he asked me some questions. I talked to some of the residents, and I think later on that week he called me and offered me the job, and I took it and fell in love with every resident that I've worked with over the 7 years. You know, you see a lot of people pass through, but you know, you kind of have a peaceful closure with it, because they no longer have to deal with this confusion that they're stuck in. We try to help them through it, but then, you know, they finally kind of cross over, and it's really a beautiful thing to sit with someone as that happens.
Something I love about Kenny, when we were getting this project together, just this past Monday, kind of putting the final touches, I said, hey, do you think you'll ever do something else? And he said, no, I love my job. And it's nice to hear someone say that they love their job.
And so, Zoe, you came up with the idea for the project at first. What was your first intention with this project? What did you expect to learn from the residents at the Emerson House?
Do you know, I think that it kind of manifested into something different, which I think is a smart place to be when you enter a storytelling project, if you have like an end goal in mind, and don't allow the stories themselves to kind of move into something else. I really wanted to understand and get wisdom from them. I think that we want to tote on a bumper sticker that the elderly have something to give us and that they're wise, but we don't actually then back that up with our actions. So I wanted to back up my actions and learn from them, and Emily and I would then meet, and she would tell me these stories, and she does great impressions. I don't know if she'll do them today. She does great impressions where I would laugh my butt off, but then I'd also, we would analyze, and the stories were just so human. And then there was threads in the stories, mm-hmm. themes. And the themes that started to come out were about these passions that these human beings had. And I know I started to see myself in one of the residents in particular. She wears fabulous hats and has fingernail polish, and she has great shoes. So if I'm painting a picture for the viewers, I'm saying that I'm very fabulous. And she liked to travel a lot. And she had all these wild stories. And I thought, man, I can see myself in this woman. And I, need to know her.
Mm-hmm. When we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about what you guys found. You had maybe these ideas going in, and so we're going to hear about some of the stories that you heard. You're listening to Bread and Roses. We're going to go to Ani in Pitch Central.
Good evening. Good evening, Dale. And good evening, listeners. This is your time to shine. This is when we need you to step forward to say that you, in fact, are a sponsor of Community Radio. You are a part of what keeps Community Radio independent and going strong. I'm here with Aaron tonight. Good evening, Aaron.
Hi, Ani.
And what do we need, Aaron?
We need some cash.
That's what we need.
Or, you know, credit card numbers or anything. And we're not going to do anything nefarious with it. We're going to use it to support KBOO, support us, support the work we do by actually paying our bills in a responsible way. So you are here listening wherever you are listening. You're maybe, you know, whatever. I'm not going to tell you where you're at because we don't tell you.
You know where you're
yes.
at.
Yes. But we know that you are listening. We know that you care about what KBOO puts out on the air. We know because plenty of you call and complain when maybe we go off the air for 14 seconds when there's a gigantic snowstorm and the phones flurry up and like, what's happening? So we just need you. You've changed your love into action for us, and that's great, but now we need you to support us financially at 877-500-5266.
Bread and Roses has a $500 goal this evening, and we need you to help Woo. Raise that goal right now. It's collective action. It's each person doing what they can. So say right now, if you step to the phone with $10 every month, it can come out of your account painlessly and electronically. You just set it up with the phone answering volunteer, and then you sign a little form we send you. You send it back with a check for that first month, and every month it's automatic until you tell it to stop. And that means over the course of a year, you'll be giving $120. I know I can never come up with $120 at once, but I give $15 a month because it's easy for me to do. It's easy for me to give $15. It's like taking a friend to lunch. And I like to think about it like that. I take my whole community to lunch once a month on KBOO, right? And it's through that kind of support right now that we can take that collective action and chip away at this $500 goal, which of course chips away at the ultimate goal of $94,000, which is what we need to raise for this winter membership drive. Go ahead and be a part of it right now, 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm. Let us thank you on the air and let us know that you are there, that you give a damn, that you want to be one of the reasons why we are able to bring you real stories of people like Dell is doing tonight on Bread and Roses. Like Dell and the other producers of Bread and Roses, Della Ray or Leanne or Twilight, how all of these people are coming together so that they can share their experience as radio hosts to make sure that the stories, the real stories of people in our communities are making it to the airwaves so that we can enrich each other. You can be a part of that. It's an exciting legacy. Please do pick up the phone now, 877-500-5266 or online kboo.fm.
Yeah, it's a fascinating show tonight. Dell does amazing work. But this show isn't even, you know, it is a collective. It is a collective effort. So we're here. I'm working the board. Ani's helping ask for money. There are guests here. There are microphones. There are people who've put it all together. And we do, there's all of this action that we are here taking together to be part of this community. And we need all kinds, different levels of support. So we need the financial support. If you can just come in and volunteer as well, that's fantastic. And there's all kinds of other ways that we can have you help support us in that way. But right now, we just really need to focus on the financial part. So 877-500-5266 is the number to call to make that kind of contribution. We have thank you gifts. We have t-shirts. We have stuff and things for you. And our phone
stuff
answers.
Stuff and things.
Yeah.
No shortage.
And so you can ask us about that on the phone, but this airtime, we don't want to spend talking about stuff and things.
Well, there is one thing.
I want to talk about you.
There's one thing I want to talk about, and that is we have some exclusive content that's available on a USB flash drive. It can be yours for a $75 contribution to your community radio station. There are many things on it, like a 1969 interview with Pete Seeger. It's an amazing interview. It's from our archives when Pete was, well, oh my gosh, I mean, 1969, right? Do the math. That's over 40 years ago, and you can hear Pete Seeger's perspective in the late 60s talking to community radio activists, right? You can, in fact, hear talks given by Molly Ivins in 1992 from our archives. Again, looking back, Margaret Mead from 1968.
Woo.
Right? Bell Hooks, who we're going to be hearing at 7 o'clock
7
tonight.
PM.
We're going to be hearing an archive speech of Bell Hooks. You can hear Ken Kesey speaking at Powell's in 1992. You can hear, oh my goodness, all so many people. W.E.B. Du Bois. That's from 64. Right? That's from the way back.
Yeah.
Right now, you could get that $75 minimum contribution to your community radio station, and you do it easily by calling 877-500-5266.
Yes, all those speeches and all those people were recorded over years by KBU volunteers and other community radio volunteers. So there is a people support gave money for those people to be able to do that kind of work. And we need you to give money so that volunteers can continue in the future and support Dell and support her amazing guests with this awesome storytelling program, which we will now get to go back and hear even more about. 877-500-5266.
Thank you, Erin, and thank you, Ani, both. And please call. Community radio is really what's allowing me to be here and allowing my guests to be here and to be able to talk about their community project. And the four collaborators of this storytelling project entitled What's the Love of Your Life are Emily Sterling, Kelly Hansen, Kenny Field, and Zoe Pelliefeson. They all braved the snow today to be here in the studio, which is amazing. And their project is actually being exhibited at Portland Grind, the stories and the photographs. Let's talk a little bit about invisibility. Zoe, whenever you first shared the story of how this idea came about, you talked about how you had no idea. So I'm going to be honest, and I also live very close to Division, exactly where Emerson House is. I walk past it so many times. And as I was preparing for this show and met with you guys, etc., a few days later, I just happened to walk by, and I was like, it is right here.
Well, there it is.
So talk about invisibility. What are you wanting people to know about aging, about people in residence homes?
Yeah, you know, if I were to think back at a conversation years and years ago, I had a professor. Her name was Elaine, and she was an older woman. I put quotes around that because what does that mean, right? Maybe older at the time to me was 50, mm-hmm. 60. And it was a feminist class that I was taking, and we were talking about what it means to be a woman and to have doors get opened for you and elevators, you know, that someone holds the door as you're walking and all these things that happen just kind of based on what we look like, which I think is very arbitrary. And she said to me, she said, Zoe, when you get older, you won't be experiencing that anymore and there'll be a level of invisibility. And I think in my early 20s, I didn't quite know what that was. And kind of realizing that as we walk by people that perhaps have a challenge that's a disability, that we choose not to look down and mm-hmm. look at them in their eye, or someone that's a homeless human being, and we choose to just walk by them as if they don't exist, I think that we also do that with the elderly in our society. And I would say that we need to stop doing that and be more self-aware of everyone that's around us.
Mm-hmm. Kenny?
And also, I feel like in a society that we live in, especially in America, if you're not contributing to the big picture, you get pushed by the wayside, kind of like Zoe was saying, but even more so with people who have dementia, you know, mm-hmm. because they even more so in society's picture aren't contributing, but they still, as we find out, have so many stories and so many lessons that people can learn from, and they're still there. Mm-hmm. So we need to pay attention to them. They're not invisible. They're physically in our communities. So,
and you are interacting with them on a daily basis. Do they feel that really big separation from society? Do they feel isolated and invisible?
Some who are in the early stages of their dementia, where they are more aware of their surroundings, yeah. As the disease progresses, they tend to lose that awareness of what's around them, and you know, it's kind of like you buy a flower for someone and it starts to kind of close in. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the way it works out. Hmm. So yes, we do have some residents who feel like they're looked past. We have other residents who feel completely content and aren't aware. And we have residents who are completely not aware because the disease process has progressed so much.
Mm-hmm. Emily?
And I think that raises an interesting point, because when we were having these conversations with folks, they were like, is this going to be all about me? Like, they were shocked and sometimes uncomfortable with the fact that we wanted to know, like, these things about their lives, like, oh, I'm important, and why do you want to ask me these questions? You know, because I think so often they've been ignored or not asked about their opinion or their experience in life.
Mm-hmm. So, I can say one other thing of this idea of beauty. And I'm sure if you have an opportunity to look at Kelly Hansen's photographs, I think that we've decided that beauty is about being young. And as I sit here with a little bit of gray hair and think about, do I want to dye this? And the answer is no. You may want to ask me in 10 years from now if the answer is still going to be no. But I think that we have to start looking at our definition of beauty and realize that it is not achievable, because in fact, it's going to go away in about 3 or 4 years, right? So all of you people in your 20s, wait till you get in your 30s, wait till you get in your 40s. And if we can look at beauty as age as well, the age spots as being something beautiful, the wrinkles that happen in our eyes because maybe we smiled too much or cried too much or laughed too much, whatever that is. So I would challenge you to take a look at Kelly's picture. She's done a fabulous job capturing that beauty.
And so the photos are at Portland Grind. Do you have the address or the neighborhood location?
It is Southeast Powell and 12th.
Okay. So tell us about the storytelling project. How did it actually physically happen? Who was interviewing these folks? Kelly, you were taking photographs.
Yeah, it started quite a few months ago. Kenny and I just set up a time to come in, and he sat with me, and I had a recorder, and he had a few people in mind who he knew would be kind of at a cognitive level to have discussions, and who also would be willing. And Kenny was a big part of facilitating those conversations as well, because I've done a lot of interviews, but mm-hmm. never with folks with dementia. So, you know, you kind of just have to go with the flow, and it's really a beautiful thing to see mm-hmm. what emerges. And really, it's not very different than a lot of other interviews.
Well, mm-hmm. Emily did great too, engaging with the residents. I do it every day, so I kind of have a pattern and certain ways of engaging with the residents to kind of bring stuff out of them. But Emily caught on right away, and you know, they're people. You just got to talk to them. And something else we tried to do is, obviously, we can't interview someone who is in the later stages, because mm-hmm. they do lose their ability to speak, or it comes out as what we call word salad. Things get all jumbled up. But we did try to pick people who were in early stages and then into middle stages, so the people reading these stories could kind of see what's going on as well with the disease process.
Kayla, would you talk a little bit about the photographing these people?
Yeah. My role was a lot of fun. I went in one time without Emily. It just was Kenny and I, and I took a lot of pictures of folks, and One woman, Kathy, was really excited. She was telling me how she hadn't had her portrait taken in years, which I was thinking about when we were talking about being invisible, mm-hmm. How she was very, very excited to have her portrait taken. And it was fun, too, because I wanted to capture moments of lucidity and make sure that these photos were an act of dignity. And I think had I been there by myself, it wouldn't have worked out so well. But Kenny was really genuine with the folks, and we got some really great photos.
Mm-hmm. And also, you know, Kelly did a really good job. If you go, please go look at the pictures, because she did a really good job of capturing them as the way they usually live. Mm-hmm. A lot of times when you see pictures of individuals with Alzheimer's, you see them like gazing out a window and it's mm-hmm. raining outside, and you know, they have their chin on their hand.
Do they all live in Portland then?
Yes. But that's not necessarily true. They have ups and downs like we do, and a lot of the times our residents are having a good time. Yes, there are times where they become agitated or anxious or sad, but that's not the general case of what you see in a lot of advertisements mm-hmm. for whatever, you know, medications or whatever. So Kelly did a good job of mm-hmm. capturing the way they actually live.
Mm-hmm. Emily?
And I think when you walk into the exhibit at the Portland Grind, the first person that's going to greet you is our photos of Kimmy. And we kind of pulled out one of her main quotes, which was that she just exudes this absolute joy. And so the quote is like, "I'm a happy girl. I'm never lonely. I'm never sad. I'm just always happy." And I think, just like Kenny said, there's such joy in all these folks' experiences.
Mm-hmm. Talk about storytelling, the power of storytelling, of people sharing their stories, but also of people hearing or listening to other people's stories. I'll say Emily goes.
We all looked at each other. We're like, who's going to tell their own story with this
Everybody.
One?
Everybody.
Storytelling is incredibly powerful. I mean, just listening, like I said, like you introduced me, I definitely believe that listening is an act of love. You show that someone is valuable by allowing them to tell their stories to others, and it is also an honor to be able to express their stories and present them to the general public, because not everyone could just go into Emerson House and sit down and meet with folks. They could if they wanted to. You can talk to Kenny about that. And
not everyone. There's background checks.
There you go. But yeah, there's just such power. And I think, like Zoe said, she saw herself reflected in stories that she heard from other people, from older folks. So you find those common threads, as we all try to, I think, in our common human experience. And storytelling is the vehicle to connecting with strangers. And I think a lot of our fear comes from not knowing. And so storytelling is another way to bridge the divide of not knowing and become comfortable with aging in this case and dementia.
Do you know, just to add on to that, I think once we realize, we can say that everyone has a story, but mm-hmm. once we actually own that as our being, it makes us less likely to dismiss the person that's beside us. And also, you know, I'll tell you, I'm an aggressive driver. Del, you've driven with me. Has anybody else driven with me?
I have.
Kenny just recently did, which was
a lot of honking.
Yeah, a lot of honking. And I think it makes you check yourself. Because as you walk and you're angry and you know whatever's happening with your day, if you realize that the person beside you has a story of their day as well, or you know their walk, if they've had a bad day and they're getting aggressive with you, or you see someone crying, if you realize that the lives that we live are these stories, and that it is important, what Emily said, to be open to listening to them, so we can gain understanding of the humanity around us. I think that's the power of storytelling.
I'd love to hear from Kelly on storytelling as well.
Yeah, this project was a good reminder about storytelling. And Emily was saying listening is an act of love. And I think we all can show love in that way. But there's also a sort of selfish part of listening. Mm-hmm. And I think we all were able to have a little bit of self-discovery through listening and saw what we needed to see from the stories that we collected.
Mm-hmm. And Kenny, what was the reaction from the residents whenever you approached them and you said, "Hey, this group of folks is coming in, they want to hear your stories, they want to take pictures of you"?
Well, I think it was Emily who was saying, you know, some of them were pretty reserved, saying, you know, oh, you want to just talk about me? Mm-hmm. You know, what about you? Well, no, we're here to talk about you. And as we started asking them questions and engaging with them, they kind of forgot about that in a way. And they just started, and we would do kind of like an interview, and they would just start telling these stories, and it would just kind of flow out of them. Mm-hmm. And then even when Kelly came in, we had a lady who refused to have her picture taken. And we finally kind of got her to say okay. So Kelly kind of started snapping pictures. And she had a New Yorker magazine in front of her face the whole time. And I actually think it's on the website.
Yeah, that's actually the picture I used for the promo for the show.
But as we kept taking pictures, she started to kind of yak it up and started making jokes and pointing out pictures in the New Yorker and, you know, who's this guy, and you know, cracking jokes. And so she got a little more comfortable, and I mean, that's the cool thing about what I do and what we've done here is you start to quickly form a relationship with people, you know, whether it's in a 5-minute photo shoot or a 10-minute photo shoot or 7 years. It's you know, these people thrive to have that connection with you.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to Bread and Roses, and I have with me in the studio the four collaborators of this storytelling project. And the title is What's the Love of Your Life? And you're probably wondering at this point how the title came about. And so we're going to take a short break, and then we're going to be talking about... you know, maybe also what is the love of your life, listener. I know one of the love of my life is KBOO. And I contribute to KBOO monthly.
Look at her pitch this. Good job, Del.
Not only financially, also by me being here. But let me tell you, before we get Ani and Aaron to join us, that my commitment to community radio is real, because community radio is dedicated and has this real commitment to the community here. And actually, I would even say to this universal community, this global community that is out there. You can listen to KBOO on the web from anywhere, and I can tell you, whenever I visit my family and friends, I'm definitely tuning into KBOO. KBOO.FM is the website. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. I'd love to hear from you guys, my guests tonight, about community radio. Kenny.
So while we were doing our interviews, a gentleman had the perfect quote for community. He said, a community isn't just a neighborhood. A community could be a tavern. It could be under a bridge. A community can be anywhere. So, you know, this is a community where you can listen to causes, you can listen to artists, you can listen to music, you can listen to us, and be informed, and find some education and some joy. So that this is community.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Zoe? I'll say, ladies and gentlemen, let's talk about funding and where funding's not coming from. So for me, it's a revolutionary way, and it shouldn't be revolutionary, because come on, now aren't we in 2014? But if we think about who's dictating our media currently, my goodness, we are getting the narration of what I believe to be where the money and power is. And in fact, we can take that back by deciding what we do with our own dollars and supporting human beings that want to put out truths that aren't tied to advertisement.
877-500-5266. Let's see what Ani has to say.
And, well, what I have to say is, gosh, Del, what good reasons, what good things to say yourself. You're so articulate. We love having Del on hosting Bread and Roses, and we want your call of support right now to not only support Bread and Roses, but to support KBOO in general, all day, every day, here and in the hub of your community. 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm. You can contribute monthly. You can do that through the electronic funds transfer program. And I like to suggest that you set it up for like 1 hour's wage every month. If you do that, it sort of evens things out throughout the community. It also evens out your budget and our budget. It's a really convenient way to give what adds up to be a significant amount of money by the end of the year. Please do consider that option and give us a call, 877-500-5266. I want to thank Brooke in Portland, a new member. Thank you so much, Brooke, for joining KBOO this evening. And now we want to thank you. Give us a call so we can, so that we know you're there and that we know you care. 877-500-5266 or online kboo.com. anchor.fm. We have $300 to raise, $300 left this evening. So right now, your call can chip away at that. And in fact, many hands do make light work, and we can raise that goal. We can get to that $94,000 goal ultimately for our winter membership drive, and we can face our next 45 years together. Strong community. Don't you think, Erin?
Absolutely. And as Dell and the guests are talking about listening as an act of love, I also think that speaking is very much an act of love. And that is why you listen to KBOO, is because people here care enough to actually talk about what's going on, whether they're sharing music or ideas or storytelling projects or any other thing that we don't normally hear about in our media. So if you want us to keep doing that so you can keep listening to it, then we need some financial support. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. You can donate securely online at kboo.fm, but we like to hear your voice. So, you know, we like to talk
it's
to
the
you.
The instant gratification of your phone call.
Yeah, and just like humanity.
Yes.
Relations, here we are.
We
the
like
phones.
Those things. It's
we
true.
Do. That's what we're here for. So, 877-500-5266.
Thank you, Erin, and thank you, Ani. Yes, this is what we want, is humanity. And I think that that's also what the four collaborators of this storytelling workshop that we're storytelling project that we are talking about tonight also wanted to show in the stories of these residents at the Emerson House. The title of the project is What is the Love of Your Life, again exhibited all throughout the month of February at Portland Grind. So what did you guys learn about love?
Kelly's so good at describing this.
Well, when I heard about the project, Zoe and Emily were telling me how they were trying to pull out themes from these stories, and my thought was, oh, we're gonna find out the meaning of life.
Yes!
We're gonna find out that everyone talks about family, or everyone talks about adventure, or everyone talks about their spouse. And then when we went in, of course, it was much more nuanced. Everyone had a different passion, and it made me reflect on what is the love of your life. And we realized that people, when they're starting to tell certain stories, they talk about what they love, and it was a way to figure that out.
I would also say, for me, I'm a single woman, and that isn't a pitch for anything out there.
Hey, we're pitching for money too.
Hey, okay. So, you know, as you navigate being single, and I have a whole group of friends that are single, it seems like everyone is searching for love, and I get that. However, I would say that it is important to search for your own personal love and passion for completeness. And I think that as we continue to search, we're ultimately saying we're searching for happiness in someone else. And to hear from these human beings, their stories that were centered on travel to politics to, you know, help me out. There were so many different themes that we pulled out. And just this idea that you should be spending the time on the love of your life, and it doesn't necessarily have to look like an intimate partner. It in fact can be politics. It can be the revolution. It can be the love of your life
K-Boo.
Or your dog. It can be animals. It can be KBOO. But making sure that you understand yourself enough to know what that is and challenge yourself to make sure that you're cultivating that time to allow it to thrive.
Kenny.
So I actually brought some notes of residents and saying what the love of their life is. And a handful did say my wife, my husband, my kids.
Okay, that's good to know.
But but some people did give me answers that you wouldn't really expect. So one lady said, I like sewing. I can make anything you want.
That's good.
I had another lady say, I love skiing and my kids. Another lady, the lady who was reading The New Yorker I was talking about, said reading. Another lady, which I think is awesome for this project, who we didn't get a chance to interview, said language and words, which is awesome.
I love that.
And another lady just kind of laughed at me and looked at me and said, it could be all over the place.
So that's good.
You find out some pretty cool things.
Kenny, what's the love of your life?
Music. Mm. And my job.
Del, what's yours?
Ooh.
Ooh.
I'm the interviewer here. I'd love to hear from you guys, though, as far as did, you know, doing this project actually made you think about the love of your life or the meaning of your life?
yeah, it made me feel really good about my life. It made me realize that there is no answer. And I think sometimes when we look at people who are in a different stage of life than we are, we think initially like, oh, what is my stage and what should I be doing right now? Mm-hmm. And we went a little deeper from that initial reaction when I walked into Emerson House for the first time to figuring out that, oh, the stages are arbitrary and I'm doing what I want to do and I feel great about it.
And the other cool thing is that the love of your life at your time can always change.
Yes. Right.
You know, it can be the partner that you're with, or it can be, I just said music, but who knows what it's going to be tomorrow or
10 years
from now or 30 years from now. So,
Emily, did you learn anything about yourself?
Yeah, definitely. I would agree. What Kelly said echoed with me as well, that it actually comforted me in a way to know that, I mean, they talked about so many different stages of their lives and the fact that I'm still young and there are many great adventures to be had, and just not to shy away from doing things that sound like great adventures or risks, because they're going to make really great stories to tell again and again to whoever's going to listen. And it was a really great experience. So. Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Bread and Roses. I'm Delphine Crescenzo, and we're going to go to Pitch Central. And when we come back, we're going to hear about how these young people are going to try to engage with you whenever you go visit the exhibit at Portland Grind, and how they are going to engage with you in finding out what is the love of your life. So stay tuned.
877-500-5266 is the number to call to support this kind of amazing radio. Thanks, Del. Thanks, everybody. My name's Erin. I'm here with Ani. And
good evening.
Yes. And we're here to remind you of the reasons why you want to support KBOO.
That's right. We're just about halfway to goal, and right now we need to hear from you so that, in fact, your support is coming in to keep KBOO Community Radio strong. At the center of your community, we are that hub that ties so many communities together, and we enrich each other as we learn about each other, as we share our experiences. We are a multicultural community. We are a multi-generational community. We are a community of people who care about making this world a better place, whether that's through storytelling, whether that's through organizing, whether that's through delivering healthcare services, whether that's through, you know, working against oppression of all kinds, working for permaculture, working to better the environment, whether it's playing really great music, whether it's inspiring people, you know, through brilliant African music or Tejano or jazz or punk rock or hip hop, we are here. We are that hub for so many communities, sharing and really, again, teaching each other about the world, and teaching each other about the world through our different various lenses. Right now, we ask you to step up and support this great effort, 877-500-5266, because it is, in fact, you that keeps us on the air. You're why we do this. You are, in fact, also our financial support. We are independent and community supported. It means that 83% of our budget comes from folks, well, just like you. And we ask that you do your part right now by picking up the phone and dialing 877-500-5266 and let us know that you are, in fact, one of our sponsors.
Yes, we talk about community radio, but we're not trying to make everyone have the same opinions. We're not trying to make everyone have one point of view or like one kind of music or only let you be one part of who you are as a person. The way that other media outlets might be are only interested in one part of the way that you think. And we understand here that the humanity is fuller than that. So we have all kinds of programs on. Ani just, you know, told you about a bunch of them, but you are here right now listening to Bread and Roses because of all of the different things that those hosts bring to this long-running feminist radio program, and they need your support right now to just let them know that you're out there listening. We know that you're out there and that you care, and so now we're asking you to step up and call 877-500-5266 and just show them that you appreciate all of the volunteer hours that they put in and all of the effort that people have put in over the years to continue this fantastic program and keep it strong and keep KBOO strong in general.
That's right. Together we are stronger. It's just the way it is. It's kind of like the forest, you know, as trees grow in the forest, their roots intertwine, and it allows that stand of trees to stand tall in the middle of a great windstorm, for example, much stronger than any single tree would be alone. And I like to think of community like that in general. You know, as we find in the natural world, in the plant kingdom, so we actually find with ourselves, right? Together, we are a lot stronger with each other's support. And I got to say, these are challenging times that we are living in Yee-hoo. So many ways, right? But with each other, we can inspire each other. We can keep each other on the course. And right now, we need you to help keep KBOO strong. And again, help enrich your entire community. Just think about that $10 a month contribution. Maybe you're not quite ready to make a monthly commitment. That's fine. You can bring your credit card to the phone, become an instantaneous member of Community Radio, and go ahead and put a one-time donation on your credit card. Or maybe you want to have us send you a return envelope and you can send back a check or a money order. However you want to do it, we just ask that you take a moment right now, speak to a phone answerer, sort out that process, and join the family. 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm. Think about those thank you gifts. If you'd like to get that thumb drive, the flash drive, $75 contribution. I was telling you some of the folks that we've brought from the archives to put on that, including Bell Hooks, who you'll be hearing in just a few minutes as we have a speech of hers that we'll be playing at 7 o'clock. Also in that archive thumb drive, Stokely Carmichael from 1973, Eldridge Cleaver from 1998, Dick Gregory from 1992. I mean, amazing voices, Winona LaDuc and Vandana Shiva. Also, there'll be three full albums of newly released songs from David Rovix, a Portland-based activist and folk singer who has toured the world with his songs. It's a great, great thank you gift, a way to share this information with other friends and family, and to make sure that you are, in fact, living an informed and enriched life. The KBOO way. 877-500-5266. Join Brooke in joining KBOO tonight. And, you know, we really do appreciate each and every contribution that comes in. Please make yours now. 877-500-5266.
Thank you, Ani, and thank you, Erin. 877-500-5266 is the phone number that you want to call right now to support KBOO, your community radio station. This is Brennan Roses, and as we wrap it up with these four wonderful guests this evening, talking about the storytelling project that they put together when they interviewed and photographed residents of the Emerson House. What's the exhibit looks like, and how are you hoping to engage people to come see the exhibit?
Sure. Should I start?
Go for it.
So when you enter, it'll say, "What is the love of your life?" Which is timely because we've got the fabulous Valentine's Day upon us next week. But I guess we did this on purpose for people to kind of think about love in a different way. So you'll see, "What is the love of your life?" And then you'll see Kimmy. So you'll see pictures of each, kind of a blown up picture of each with the stories around them and some pulled out pronounced quotes. But then you'll see our little trick on this of how to engage. So we sat in a group and we thought something about art that we would like to see is that there's ways for people to engage with the art besides just looking at it. And Kelly had a fabulous idea that we kind of brainstormed and workshopped together. And it was the idea of the selfie, right?
Ooh, what's the selfie?
Can we just say, don't we wish the selfie would go away?
Yeah,
right?
Just explain what the selfie is.
So those of you that don't know what a selfie is when you hold your iPhone or whatever gadget you have, and you kind of put it away from yourself to take a picture of yourself because you're that selfish and you want everyone to see how good looking yourself is. And so, you know, this is like kind of happened since digital media has kind of taken over and that we have these cell phones. So we thought, you know what? Why don't we ask people to take a selfie with a piece of paper that describes the love of their life and to hashtag it. And to be honest, none of us really knew what hashtags were. We're like, we know these things called hashtags exist. And Emily's like, what happens? Does it go into a hashtag universe? You know, is this marijuana induced? We didn't understand what was going on.
The iPhone. Right? Yeah.
So anyway, if you hashtag what is the love of your life, with your selfie image and what in fact you love your life is. So mine is risk taking, for example. It'll all go to one spot and you can see what other people are saying about the love of their lives.
Thank you so much for braving the weather this evening and coming in the studio. Zoe Pelliefus, Emily Sterling, Kelly Hansen, and Kenny Field. Thank you so much.
You rock, Del. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank all of you for tuning in this evening to Bread and Roses, and thank you for your contribution to your community radio station. Bread and Roses is a collective of women-identified radio activists bringing you feminist news and public affairs. That's every Friday here on KBOO. Please check us out on the web, kboo.fm/breadandroses, and on Facebook, KBOO Bread and Roses. Thank you, Erin, for engineering, Ani for pitching. Next week, the amazing Leanne Kranz will be your host. Stay safe, everyone. And I want to leave you with Joy Harjo, because on March 7th, if you tune into Bread and Roses, Leanne Kranz and myself will be interviewing Joy Harjo. So here is Letter from the End of the 21st Century.
A half hour of my life this morning with Rami, an Igbo man from northern Nigeria, who drove me in his taxi to the airport. Chicago rose up as a mechanical giant, with soft insides buzzing around to keep it going. We were parked at the spin.
You are listening to KBOO Portland.
I'm DJ Nux. And next weekend, I'm going to host Hypnophobia Radio, featuring musical artists of the female persuasion. Call in and request to hear something or give a shout out to the women in your life, even if it's just your mom. This will be taking place in the space after Friday night in the wee hours of Saturday morning from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. right here on listener-supported KBOO Radio.
Talk is called Teach Me to Live.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. This is a recording from KBOO's archive of the poet activist Bell Hooks. This is one of the 50 talks and interviews that are available exclusively on KBOO's USB flash drive, which is available as a thank you gift for supporters who give at the $75 level or more. Again, Bell Hooks.
This particular talk is called Teach Me to Live. And I'm only going to read you a little of it. And it was particularly written for an audience of people, for people from African descent, African Americans. And I'd like to start with it. Last month, the mother of one of my students died. It was a sudden, unexpected passing. The student had gone home for Christmas break, and she was talking to her mother, and her mother grabbed her head. She was having an aneurysm, and she passed away. This mother and I had spent time together, talking about many things, but mostly about all the feminist theory, the race, class, stuff I was teaching her daughter. Meeting the parents of students always fills me with dread, since in our classes I feel that they involve themselves with a liberatory pedagogy that educates them for critical consciousness, and if they're black, as this student is, aims to decolonize their minds, then usually they undergo all manner of paradigm shifts, changing thoughts, behavior, even hairstyles. So much of which threatens parents. I meet a lot of parents who tell me, I'm sick of hearing your name, you know. We have to hear about you at the dinner table, and so it's always a joy to meet a parent who is supportive of what's taking place in the classroom. Doris was never threatened. She encouraged and supported. Sitting together in my favorite New Haven restaurant, we were like co-conspirators mapping out the future for this, our liberated daughter. When Doris died, I did not know how to face our grieving child. As Dion's teacher, comrade, and friend, what could I give her to comfort and solace? What did this experience have to do with liberatory pedagogy? I think that, like many professors who are trying to have a liberatory pedagogy in the classroom, there's always that question of where does it end? Where does my responsibility and accountability end in relationship to students? And I think that in this case, I felt a lot of dread of what it would mean to confront this student with at one of the difficult crisis moments of her life. And what would it mean in terms of education for critical consciousness? When I was a small child, I would often tell my mother, I want to die before you, because without you, I couldn't bear to go on living. I feel that intuitively understanding then that to lose a caring parent who is teacher, guide, and companion is a profound loss, seemingly unbearable, that I was learning at that young age the true meaning of a liberatory pedagogy, the answers to Dion's questions, listening to her grapple with whether or not she should go on without her mother. I kept hearing the words in my head that became the title of this paper, Teach Me to Live. To me, these words capture the spirit of liberatory pedagogy, the essence of what it means to teach for liberation. They touch the heart of the matter. Growing up in a Southern Black culture shaped and formed by intermingling with Native American Indian cultures, I learned to recognize a teacher as one who guides, who teaches the art of living. Pondering the contemporary plight of African Americans, widespread economic